Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the 19th Hole Disc Golf Podcast. My name is David Fournier, the host of the show, and I've got more exciting guests coming on, fellow disc golf advocate, and just a great guy. He's coming on. He is from Team Disc Store, discstore.com. Show tonight sponsored by the good folks at discstore.com. If you were an Ultimate player and you need Ultimate, remember that's how they got started, was an Ultimate Frisbee. They are your guys. Disc golfers, if you need something, discstore.com is the place. And don't forget, they have a fully functional pro shop there. Polo shirts, mini markers. Remember, they were the ones that did all the swag for the Worlds last year. And just a great group of people. I'm super thrilled this year to be the second year on the team, 2022. And it's exciting for me because I'm not the greatest player. They just like old people. And that's how I got the job. I'm an old person. So you know what? I'll take it any way I can get in there. And we've been running this podcast now for a couple of years, and we've been having so much fun with it. And again, if you're a disc golfer, you have a disc golf story, and I want to talk to you. And you say, well, Dave, I'm not a professional. Neither am I. But when you start talking disc golf, you start talking about things you're passionate about, people want to hear that. Speaking of passionate, joining me all the way from Illinois, Cody. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, David. Thank you for taking the time and letting me come on. I really appreciate that.
Now, we want to get one question I ask a lot of people, and yours are going to be a little bit different because you've got a whole program, YouTube channel, so stuff we're going to get to in a little bit. So your questions are a little bit different, but here's number one I get everybody. Tell the listeners, how did you start playing disc golf? Well, when did you do it? How did you get started? And as you mentioned to me before this, you came on the show, you're up in the Illinois area. Don't know much about Illinois, so tell us about the disc golf scene up in Illinois.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, I got started, I want to say, back in 2009, 2010. I started playing casually. My older brother, Kyle, was into the sport a lot with his friend, Zach Seatard. And they would do a lot of doubles events and this and that. And he would always bring my little brother Cole and I out to play a lot. And I really started liking the sport. Like, wasn't like super passionate about it as I am today. But it was just something fun to do, something after school. Because other than doing three sports in high school, I did like extracurricular activities. Like I did musicals and stuff like that. So like something to do in the summer once I graduated high school was disc golf with it. And then I played casually for up until about 2013, 2014. And then unfortunately got into a really bad relationship. This girl got verbally abused in a relationship with a girl and she ended up messing with me a little bit mentally to the point where she lied to me about a pregnancy and then lied about losing the child. And then it ended up causing me to go into a complete depression, completely stop playing disc golf, just quit doing anything fun, just went into a whole life of depression for about 4 years, ended up doing a couple of drugs here and there, ended up getting into the drug life, but April 29th this year, I'm thankfully saying that I will be 4 years clean from doing any hard drugs, so that's a plus.
Wow.
And then in 2018, after I started getting sober and getting clean, my good buddies Alex Ator and Jack Villanworth, who one of them actually lives like a couple houses down from me, they were like, "Hey man, like we know you've been trying to get out of this funk of being depressed and that your anxiety being up all the time. Would you want to go play more disc golf?" So I ended up getting back into the sport about 2018, and then towards the end of like 2019, I want to say like August or September was when I started getting like more passionate about it. And then once the pandemic season hit, that was kind of when I started playing, competing. And that's 2020 was the year I officially joined the PDGA and then just been loving the life ever since. As far as the disc golf scene here in Illinois, there's a lot I could talk about. We always do the Disc Golf Pro Tour has the Ledgestone Insurance Open this year, here every year, down in the Peoria area. We have, the Northwood courses, we have, Westwood Park, we have, Prescott Park, Sunset Hills, pretty much all the phenomenal wooded courses, open courses. You can get those in the Peoria area. If you want to be an AM player and come down and play it, even if you're not living in the state or you're probably where you're at in Colorado and you want, hey, I want to drive some, you know, far enough to go somewhere and I want to go try and play Ledgestone, it's very, I highly recommend playing it. I will not be playing it this year. Just didn't have the money for it, unfortunately, for this year. So I'm actually doing the Bushcraft Great Lakes Open this year. And so I'm going to go skate Ledgestone this year. And actually, Scott Spolkley and I were talking a little bit, and I might actually caddy for him for one of the rounds at Ledgestone if his girlfriend's not doing it for him.
Okay.
Sorry, I kind of talked a lot there.
No, no, I want you to talk. Believe me. How much growth have you seen in your area? I mean, everyone that I've had on the show tells me the last 2 to 3 years it's been explosive. Have you guys been seeing that in Illinois as well?
Oh, absolutely. Especially more in the because I live in a small town in Illinois. I live in a town called Morris. It's about an hour southwest of Chicago, about 20 minutes southwest of Joliet. And the Lockport-Joliet area is probably the biggest I've seen it growth-wise as opposed to the Ledgestone area because in the Lockport area, we have Galewood Park. It's actually one of the top 10 best courses in the world right now. It has been host the last 6 years of Clash of Canyons. Clash of the Canyons 5 was actually on the Disc Golf Pro Tour Silver Series lineup last year. And one of my good buddies, Dan Schlitter, was the one who ended up taking it down. So to see all these big names come from, like, your Brody Smith, your Chandler Fries, you know, your Ezra Aderhold, Nico Castro, Luke Humphreys, Kristen Bittar, players like that, Holcomb, all of them just coming out, the fact that the Silver Series event and that, just those names alone were exposed to people out in, like, the Illinois area. The amount of people that showed up for that event, especially being a Silver Series event, was truly remarkable because there was, like, a couple thousand people there. It felt like Ledgestone. It felt like Worlds. Like, it felt like it's not like, probably like Pro Worlds, but it felt like AM Worlds. Like, there was a lot of people there. And after that, we actually got a couple couple hundred people from just my area alone that joined the PDGA just after that event, watching that event those 3 days.
Wow. Now, I want to back up. First of all, I want to tell you congratulations on sobriety. There are a lot of people I talk to in my life, I'm sure in your life, that's a challenge, man. Not everybody makes it. Sadly, not everybody makes it. So first of all, congratulations to you and for the willpower and what it takes to put your head in the wind and just go for it. You mentioned, talking about disc golf. I've got guys that have been on the show that have lost tremendous amount of weight because they started playing disc golf. So I got guys that have come from really difficult backgrounds, some of the things that you explained, all kinds of different areas of challenges with it. And they all kind of came. One guy flat out told me on the show last year, he said, disc golf saved my life. And I wanted to get into that. We talked about it. When he was done, I was convinced. I think that disc golf and disc golfers can offer a lot of benefit for people that are just trying to find a place to fit. And I want to ask you, has that kind of been your experience with it as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, like I said, back when I got into the drug life for about 4 years, once my buddies got me back into the sport and then I started getting more serious about it, and then hearing, I heard Scott Stokely's story beforehand, but then hearing his story was kind of like a true inspiration for me to get that big push to get fully clean. And then it's players and stories like that truly made me want to get into the sport more. And if it wasn't for the sport of disc golf, as well as my, like, very supportive family that I have, especially my mom and dad, I honestly don't know where I would be right now. I'd probably still be making stupid decisions. But I truly believe that disc golf, the sport itself, has definitely saved my life, for at least a good portion of it, a good part of it.
Wow. And like I said, I got to be honest with you, Cody. I'm hearing story after story, everything from, hey, it's my therapy, I'm a better husband, I'm a better brother, better son because I have an outlet for it. to stories like yours where, man, you were up against some things and you just got in there and got it done, to guys that have been through it. It's exciting to see that something as fun and as simple as throwing plastic has such a huge impact in the lives of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like my grandma, I currently live with my grandma right now. She's 87 years old, so I help take care of her and whatnot. And she's always asking me questions all the time of, like, now I follow golf a little bit here and there. Is it just like that? And I tell her, like, the rules are basically the same. It's just, you know, you're throwing the frisbee instead of hitting a ball. And, like, but, like, the scoring's the same. There is a couple different rules here and there, but the concept is basically the same. It's just you're throwing a disc instead of hitting a ball off a tee, you know. And then once I started showing her YouTube videos, like, I showed her a couple the last, like, 9 holes of Worlds last year, and then she saw the holy shot. She thought that was one of the coolest things I ever see. So she's like, okay, I can understand why you love this sport and why you have a passion for it.
Now, I want to ask you this question. We may have touched a little bit on it, but I want to ask you this. Tell me about some of your best disc golf moments. If you got one, great. If you got a couple, let me hear them. But what are some of your best disc golf moments? Maybe big wins on the course, maybe a time you struggled, you learned something, but talk about some best disc golf moments.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I actually got 3 of them for you, 2 good, and then I got 1 that's bad. But the bad one was actually it was one before one that led up to a good one. So I'll start with the bad one. The bad one was last year, I want to say it was the weekend before 2 Lakes Open last year. I was playing one of the Illinois Open Series events that they have here. One of the guys that's on the board of PDGA for Illinois, his name is Mike Caprica. He runs the Illinois Open Series event, so he'll do like 5 events every year. He'll do one in Eureka, one in one at Northwood, one at one at a course by my house in a little town called Oswego, Illinois. And he did one in the town's called Round Lake. It's probably like 10 minutes outside the city. And I went into it. I was playing MA4, and I went into like the first 6 or 7 holes, and I was shot 3 under. I was feeling pretty good, and ended up on one hole. It was there was a mandatory route that we had to take, and I hit the mandatory route, but I managed to hit the mando tree, go to the left, hit another tree, and that knocked me out of bounds. And then I ended up missing a 10-footer. The wind just kind of grabbed me on my bogey save, and then I ended up like 3 putting, so I ended up taking a double bogey on that. And then I followed up the last like 4 or 5 holes I played with like a 6 over performance. So I went from starting like 3 under through the first 7 holes to finishing like 5 over after the first round. And then I think I actually finished like 12 over for the entire tournament. So just didn't get any better for me. And it was actually one of those moments where, because I always call my mom, because she's one of my biggest supporting systems. Like, she'll always talk me up before events. I'll talk to her in between rounds, and she'll just tell me what I need to focus on and this and that, and just give me, you know, words of advice being a mom. And I remember after that first round, I just said, like, I started breaking down in my car. I said, Mom, like, I don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, why do I always put myself in this position? I always start so good, and then I always fall apart. Like, why can't I ever finish consistently? And ended up getting to the point where my mom, being a mom, was like, well, if you're going to talk like that, then maybe you shouldn't do it. Maybe you shouldn't be playing anymore. Because, you know, I'm just talking down on myself, saying how much I suck and this and that. And she's trying to be supportive. Then you get to a certain point where she's like, okay, well, if you think that much about yourself, maybe you should quit. And then, again, it gets me thinking. And then I'm like, no, I don't want you to agree with me. But that was definitely a life lesson. Because then after I did a 7-over second round, I ended up shooting like 3 points above my rating. That tournament, I actually, for the MPO side, Thomas Earhart and Brian Earhart. Brian Earhart is sponsored by Discraft and runs the Flight Diary podcast. Him and his brother played that in the MPO, and I actually ran into Brian after my round, and he heard about my tournament performance and everything, and he gave me probably the best advice he could possibly do. He said, hey, man, I know, like, you're not feeling the greatest about yourself right now, but you just got to keep your head up, and you just got to take this as a learning lesson, a life lesson. Like, take this as a lesson and be like, hey, okay, I know what I need to improve on. Take that moment, take that mindset and going into your next tournament, and then your next tournament should be a good one. And so I was like, all right, like I feel like that was awesome. Thank you for, you know, telling me that. I appreciate it. So then I talked to my mom after that, and she was telling me, like, she was just saying, okay, now that you finished off a little stronger, like, obviously you didn't finish off that you wanted in the second round, but just take this as a momentum, like a life lesson, and going into your next event, which was D-Glow. And then I ended up going up to Michigan, playing Discraft Great Lakes Open for the MA4 AM side. And my very first round, I shot a 2-under. And then followed it up by a 1-over, and then I think the final round I shot 2-over, but I was actually tied for first place in that tournament, the big eight-tier tournament, going into like the second-to-last hole, and it was like a 400-foot hole. It was a hard left to right, which the first like 150 feet is just a straight right turn shot. So I just had to put something up there, and then it was a par four, so I just had to give myself a straight look to the basket. So I should have went with my my mid-range sole that I throw, and I decided against it and went with my essence, which I didn't put any turn on it, and ended up going into the woods to the left, had to pitch out, ended up having a great third shot and ended up saving the four, but the guy that I was tied with, on a second shot, he managed to go 30 feet to the right of the basket, hit a tree, and then rolled another 25 feet back towards the basket and had a 5-foot tap in for the birdie, so that he ended up taking a one-stroke lead on me. And then we went into the final hole, and I took a pin, and we both parred out. So I ended up taking second in that. But even though I didn't come out with the win for Great Lakes Open, that was definitely something that made me really, truly understand, like, okay, maybe I do have a gift at the sport. Maybe I'm actually good at something, you know, because I wasn't the greatest athlete in high school. Like, I never really in football and baseball or anything like that. So for me to go out, not do my greatest performance at a little C-tier event in my home, and then to go out to an A-tier event like Great Lakes and take home a second place victory, which is truly awesome. And usually people would be like, man, I can't believe I didn't come home with a win. Like, they'd be really disappointed in themselves. I lost on the second to last hole and knew that I pretty much lost the tournament right then and there, and even said to myself, like, I know that the first two places will get a trophy, so I just can't screw up on this last hole, and I'll go home with the trophy at least. And then that actually ended up bumping my rating up 12 points. So from going to my Illinois Open Series event at in Round Lake, Illinois, and getting, like, going from tied for first to finishing, like, 12th or 13th place to going off to D-Glow and getting a second place within, like, a week or two later, I'll take that any day. And that was definitely something that and then right after I took that second place finish, it was just Brian Earhart's words definitely came to fruition. It was like, man, what he really said came to life. Like, I really came out here and proved that I'm not from this state, and I'm from 5 hours away, and I can come out here and prove to people that I can perform. And that was just an incredible feeling to have.
It's always a good feeling when you think how you thought through your mental progression. That guy gave you great advice, but you're the one that went out there and capitalized on it, made it work, and it's disc golf always gives you just enough to get you to come back and do it again. All right, let's just do this again. And then you get out there, and
right.
I've had some times on the course where I've just gotten battered, and I'm kind of thinking to myself, have you ever done this before? And then you get one shot going your direction, you're like, all right, here we go, I feel it coming. So now I want to tell you, one of the unique things about you, Cody, is you're the first person I've interviewed in the two seasons we've had the show that actually is doing something in terms of promoting podcasts, YouTube. You're one of the first guys I've had on the show. So I know you're a disc golf advocate. You just talked about some exciting things going on in your life. But you host disc golf on a YouTube and podcast type streams. And I want to talk about that. What got you started on promoting disc golf? And tell us about your program, and how do the listeners find it?
Okay, for sure. So the podcast was the first thing that started. That was something that at the beginning of last year that I was always a goal of mine. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I just knew that I wanted to do that, because when the pandemic hit, I actually did this this little pandemic podcast. I called it the daily quarantine show, where I'd come in every day and talk about things that were happening in the world. And I just always loved putting myself out there and talking. And then once the pandemic kind of started subsiding a little bit, I kind of lost interest in doing it. Just trying to do a show, you know, Monday through Friday was hard to do, especially with working in all the time. So I ended up I stopped that. And then when I got the idea to do this podcast, it came from the podcast show, the Nick and Matt show, that my good buddy Nick Carl and Matt Graham run, that I actually am friends with Matt Graham on Facebook. And they, I suffered from clinical depression and anxiety, so I've had days where I've felt depression and stuff, and I just know that if I ever have those days, I can turn on the Nick and Matt show and know that what they're talking about will get me to not think about my depression, and they can just make me completely forget why I was even depressed in that, you know, to begin with. And so they said, if anybody feels like they're going through anything mental health-wise in their life, please reach out to us. We're not the greatest therapists in the world, you know, but we'd be happy to give you words of advice. And I reached out to Matt and said, you guys are the, you know, I'm not going to say the whole thing because I talked about the drugs in it and everything, but I just said, basically, the cliff notes of it were, you guys are the best. It shows like yours that make me want to do podcasts and stuff, and I suffer from depression and anxiety, and you guys definitely make me not think about that. So keep doing what you guys are doing in the world, and from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And then Matt reached out to me and actually said, we appreciate your message. They ended up saying it on that episode. We were talking about it. They didn't say my name or anything, but once he said the words, you guys are the best, I immediately knew that was my message. So I was like, oh, my God, he's saying my message on the show. That's awesome. And then I ended up playing Deagle and getting second, and I reached out to him and said, hey, I took second place in Deagle at MA4. If you could give me a shout-out on the show, that'd be awesome. And they said, the following Monday, they said, before we go into our weekend recap, our tournament recap, let me just take a minute to give a huge shout out to one of our super fans, Cody Unervold, who's playing MA4 and he took second in Deagle. So he even gave me a shout out on the show. So that was kind of cool. So I thanked him for that. And then he said, I feel like if you want to get your name and your brand out there and just your name out there in general in the disc golf world, you definitely got to get yourself a podcast, or even like you got to get yourself an Instagram account at least, which I got my Instagram account. And so then I started doing my podcast, just got inspiration from them. And then the names came with Off the Chains. It's just because when we first started playing the sport, we were so bad at, my buddies and I were so bad at putting, we were knocking putts off the chains within 5 to 10 feet. So the name just kind of stuck in my name or in my head. So I was always saying like, oh my God, I can't believe I just knocked that off the chains again. So
hey, folks, we just temporarily lost Cody there. He's going to give us a call back. So while we got just a minute waiting for him to get back on, don't forget DiscStore.com. That's DiscStore.com is sponsoring our show here. And we thank Nathan Clark. Hey, by the way, when you go to order from DiscStore.com, please just let him know that you talked to me. Talk to David, heard it on the show, and ask Nathan, hey, man, give us something to do. All right, hang on a second. I got Cody right back in again. He should be popping here in just a moment. Cody, are you back?
Yeah, David, can you hear me? Sorry about that.
No, you're fine, man. Carry on. We're good. So YouTube and the podcast, tell us about it.
Yeah. All right, yeah. So the podcast, I got the name off the chains, like I was saying, and from September 8th up until yesterday, I've been doing the podcast ever since. It started just being like an hour show where I would just talk, doing my recap on my tournaments, doing recaps on the DGPT events, and then I ended up getting a couple buddies on to interview them. And then I actually reached out to Gavin Rathbun, who's one of my good friends, actually, one of the touring pros this year. And he told me he would love to come on the show sometime. So he was actually my very first pro guest I ever had on my show. And then ever since he was on the show, I've had big names coming up to me. I've had Ian Burchett, who is an Illinois local, and he's on the Disc Golf Pro Tour scene this year. I have and then I had Scott Stokely on recently. I have a couple people on that I've had from that are well-known in Illinois, like amateur players, like one of my good friends, her name's Erin Havoc, and Michelle Lopez. They're one of the big female amateur players in the Joliet and Mockport area. So I've had them on the show before. I had one of my friends that lives in Decatur, Illinois, about 2 hours south of me. His name is Damon Morstadter. He just switched. He's been playing MPO for the last 2 years, but he's never cashed. So he actually decided to play, go back to MA1 this year, and just kind of figure his game out. Which, at first I was like, man, you deserve to be an MPO. Like, I don't know why you're doing that. You know, just being that friend. And then he ended up saying, like, no, man, like, there's something going on with my game, and I feel like I need to go back down to MA1 to figure something out before I want to go take this pro again. And we talked about that on the show. And then when Scott Stokely came on, my friend Aaron and Michelli were my highest viewed show at like 55 views. But then when Scott Stokely came on and he did the shared it on his Instagram, he said I went from having like 20 some views on that episode to having like over 400 some views on that episode. So Scott Stokely, within like 13 to 16 hours, became my highest viewed episode I've ever had on my podcast. And then ever since then, I've just had a couple people email me saying, hey, could I come on the show like beginning of May? Hey, could I come on the show at the end of April? Hey, could I come on I wouldn't be available till the middle of July. Could I come on then? And I just have my little notepad and paper, and I just write down the dates and write their names next to it, and then that's going to be who my guest is on the show that week. And then I did my episode yesterday with Ryan Aquino, who's also a Team Disc Store member and does Disc Golf Digest on YouTube as well. And he is actually one of my best friends. And him and I are the only players sponsored by Team Disc Store that are from the state of Illinois. So that's actually pretty cool to be able to say that. We get to represent the Team Disc Store brand in the state of Illinois. So that's pretty cool together.
Now, how do they find your YouTube? Like somebody says, I like this man, I want to hear what this guy's all about. How do they find you?
Okay, so the podcast, I do my podcast like you do yours on Blog Talk Radio. I do mine on the Anchor app. But then once I did my first, after I did my first two or three episodes, I had a link to Spotify. I have a link to Apple Music. I have a link to Google Podcasts. If anybody ever wants to see where they can find these links at and stuff, I mostly post them on my Facebook, but I also try to post them on my Instagram. I try to post them on my Twitter just so people, if I don't have them on Facebook and they follow me on Instagram or Twitter, they can see it there. If anybody wants to follow me on Instagram and see where you can follow my podcast at, it's at Ener, E-N-E-R, underscore, 148739. And then the Twitter is the same exact name, except there's no underscore in it. It's just Ener, 148739. But I mostly post my podcast stuff on my Facebook, but I'm trying really hard to get into the habit of doing it on Twitter and Instagram as well, which I have been doing the last couple weeks, last couple episodes I've been doing. And then the YouTube channel started, a project I want to start this year. I just get the inspiration from seeing all the pros, like the Eagle McMahons, the Ricky Wysockis, the Simon Lizotte, doing, you know, like doing their What's in the Bag videos, doing even Scott Stokely doing his round recap, tournament recap, stuff like that. So it was basically like just watching people like them that really gave me the true inspiration to start my own YouTube channel. And the very first video I ever did was What's in My Bag video, and the intro to it was absolutely terrible. I didn't like the intro that I did to it, and I didn't name it Off the Chains. I just named it OTC Disc Golf, which right after I did the video, I absolutely hated the name immediately. I'm like, yeah, after I did my intro, I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound right to me. So I ended up just changing it to Off the Chains, the same thing as the podcast. And I always post videos on my Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. And then I actually, because I didn't like the very first video I did, I ended up deleting it and just redoing one. So, but right now the videos I have on my YouTube are my What's in the Bag video this year. Very first tournament I ever did this year, I did a first round and a final round recap. And then I did skip one tournament on because I played so bad, and then I shot like 29 over and still took fourth place and shot 13 points above my rating. It was one of the worst tournaments I ever had in a while, probably since I started competing. So I didn't really – I was just so depressed I didn't even want to talk about that one on the channel. But I ended up just doing my a tournament recap on the tournament I just did for the National Amateur Disc Golf Tour exclusive event at Megiddo Park, which is one of the Peoria, Illinois courses. It's down in Westwood Park. It's town right outside Peoria. It's called Morton, Illinois. So I just ended up doing that one too. So right now I got about 3 or 4 videos on the YouTube channel. But yeah, if people want to follow me on the YouTube, it's the same name as the podcast. It's Off the Chain. I'm sure there's a million things that will pop up if you say Off the Chain. So if you want to type in Off the Chain and then put Cody and then put my name at the end, so put like search Off the Chain Cody Enervold, KodyEnervold. It'll most likely pop up. I'm sure my logo is me throwing a disc in my sweatpants and an NADGT dry fit. So, and I'm wearing a red hat, so it's not hard to miss.
You said something a minute ago that really – there are times when all of us go out to play a tournament and we come home and somebody will ask us how it's going and we just don't want to talk about it. Every once in a while you just have those. I remember several years ago I have a phrase I picked up. Several years ago my Patriots were playing some team and they were supposed to kill them and they got absolutely destroyed. And when they were interviewing Bill Belichick after the game about how everybody played so horrible, he kept saying, on to Cincinnati. That's all he would say because that was next week's game, on to Cincinnati. So I got that statement kind of around the house where, hey, Dad, how did it go? On to Cincinnati. And they know, stop talking about it. It didn't work out real well. But, man, we all have those kind of on to Cincinnati moments. Cody, I got a couple more minutes with you, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
First of all, thank you for coming on the show. Congratulations on the sober. What a great story you are to encourage. There are people listening to the show. Listen, if you're going through something right now and you're struggling, remember that seeking help is a sign of wisdom. It's not a sign of weakness. Find somebody, get with somebody, reach out, and just be strong enough to make it through. So congratulations to you on sober and being clean and all the great things you're bringing to disc golf. Now, from everything you've learned, what's your best advice for new players, somebody getting into disc golf? What would you tell them?
The best advice I could possibly give, if I could give, I actually could probably give it in 5 different steps. For as far as advice, the first step I could give you is pretty much just be yourself. When you're out on the course, whether it's a casual round or a tournament round, don't pretend to be someone you're not. Just be yourself. The disc golf community is the most welcoming community in the world. So you have nothing to be afraid of. Don't try and pretend to be someone you're not. Just be yourself. Number 2 is practice, practice, practice. Practice makes perfect. I know that's kind of a cliche term to use, but practice does definitely make perfect, especially putting. If you got an arm and you can throw a disc, get out into a field and get some practice throws in. But if I could encourage anybody as far as practicing, please practice your putting. The putting is going to be one of the most important, probably the most important part of your game. Number 3 would be respectful. Follow the rules of the sport. Follow the etiquette of the sport. Like, if you throw a disc, and let's say it's somebody else's throw on the second throw before yours, don't walk in front of them and go up to your lie. Let them throw first, or let that person, whoever's on your card, throw first. And just be respectful. Be respectful to the rules. Have the proper etiquette. 4 would be always focus. You always want to stay focused no matter what you're doing, whether it's you're having a good round or a bad round. If you end up being in your head, you're going to end up having the worst round of your life, so just stay focused. And also, nerves are a good thing to have. If I could quote the great Brody Smith in saying this, if you don't have nerves going into something, it just shows that you don't have a true passion for something. If you have nerves walking into something, it shows that you definitely have a love and passion for that sport. And they won't, and that's why they call the first couple holes the first hole jitters, is because you're going to always, no matter if you're a new guy, a newcomer, or you've been in the sport for 20, 30 years, like, you're always going to have those nerves going in, and nerves are absolutely 100% a good thing to have. And then the last thing I could possibly say for advice is just have fun. It's not, I know you're out there competing against other players, but at the end of the day, just try and not focus on playing, trying to beat the other players. At the end of the day, it's just you versus the course. Based on, because you're playing the course, you're not playing other, I mean, you are playing other people, but what I'm saying is when you're going, your mindset should be you're playing the course. And then if you go out there and you beat the course, then you look at your score and you say, oh, hey, look, oh my God, I'm at the top. I'm either in first place or I'm right there. And then, advice would be yourself, practice, be respectful, focus, and nerves are a good thing, and then also just to have fun and remember it's just you versus the course.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Cody Intervold from the state of Illinois, fellow Team Disc Store member representing the great state of Illinois. He's got the podcast. He's got the YouTube channel. He told you how to get a hold of it. Go look up his stuff. I've had a chance to kind of catch some views of it myself, and just super excited to have you on the show. Cody, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, David. It was a good time. And whenever you want to come on my show, you're more than welcome, my dude.
Well, we're going to be talking. I'm looking forward to it as well. So, again, David Fournier, 19th Hole Disc Golf Podcast, hanging out with Cody from Team Disc Store. Thank you again so much for listening to us on live and on archive. Remember, in about 15 minutes, this link will be hot. You can listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, Cody, that link I'm going to send you here, it's unique to your show, so pass it out. Let your friends know what a great job you did. Thanks again for listening, everybody, and we'll be back next week with a new show.
Thank you.